Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Do it. I'm a Christian, but I just can't do it. There's a scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. Because the scripture teaches us that in Christ, we can do all things. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. All things. All things literally means all. Anything. Now, let me just tell you about the all, though. The all things has to deal with what He asks us to do, not what you try to embark on yourself to do. You go over there and you say, you know what? I want to pick up 5,000 pounds. I can do all things through Christ. You're not going to do it. Unless God has said, go over there and save that girl. And you go, that's 5,000 pounds of rock.
Today, Pastor Troy will remind you of an important passage of Scripture. This particular passage of Scripture says that as a believer in Christ, you can do all things through Christ. So does that mean that if you say you're going to pick up a car in the name of Jesus, you'll actually be able to do it? No, not quite. Oftentimes when Jesus asks us to do something, it can seem impossible. This idea is less along the lines of believers asking to do anything, and more along the lines of Jesus empowering us to do His will. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 3 as he continues his message, Why Trust in Jesus?
Their suggestion was that divorce is okay. God said it's okay. Moses commanded us to give a certificate when we get divorced. So why then did Moses command us to give a certificate of divorce? And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses, and He changed the word, not commanded, Moses permitted you to divorce. And that was only under certain circumstances anyway, and that wasn't because she burnt the meal or she wasn't as young as she used to be. It was because of infidelity, adultery. And so Moses permitted divorce, and then Jesus said to them, but from the very beginning, it was not so. And then He pointed them to in the beginning. He said, in the beginning, for this reason, God said, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So, He was able to say this with great authority, not because He had just read the passage a few moments ago, but because He was there. He could say, no, that's not the way it was in the beginning. How do you know? Who are you? I've been to Israel, and I've seen the Garden of Gethsemane, and I once came back to our church, and I was like, man, that our little area reminds me of the Garden of Gethsemane. And this guy goes, according to what movie? Like, where's your authority? I said, no, not a movie. I was there. And you can speak with such authority when you're there. That's the authority Jesus spoke with. Jesus didn't come and proclaim His own philosophy or His own interpretation of the Scriptures. Like, well, this is the way I see it. It's not up for debate. In fact, He spoke truth. What He said was truth. In fact, He is the Word of God. If God were to explain, here's who I am, here's what I'm like, here's how I love you, and here's how much. If you were to package that Word and put it into a physical body or an illustration, that's what Jesus is. He is the Word of God. And God speaks to us and has spoken to us through His Son. In fact, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 say this, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Oh, by the way, He was there and made the worlds too. Here's an important question, I guess, in light of this truth. If God is speaking to the world through his Son, even today, why isn't anyone listening? Verse 32 says, no one receives his testimony. Now, this is literally hyperbole, an exaggeration about the truth. Because it literally means, and with all the people in the world, almost none of them, very, very few, even listen. Because we know in verse 33, he says, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Have you heard someone say something like, I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. Have you ever heard that? If you're around long enough, you'll hear it. And what they often mean is this, if we boil it down to what they really are saying. Either they tried it and they didn't find themselves fitting in, or they tried it and walking like everyone else in the church was too difficult for them, not what they really wanted out of life. Or trying to live what the Bible teaches didn't produce in their life what they wanted. That's usually what they mean when they say, I tried it, it didn't work for me. The problem is that they tried it. They tried to see if Christianity would serve them. Will this fulfill me? Will this serve my needs? Will this serve what I want? Here's what I would like, and man, it just didn't meet that. I need something different. Perhaps another religion, perhaps some other experience. And so they try it, it doesn't work, because you don't try Christianity. You don't try it on like a coat. In this faith, it's really all about faith in Him. We don't try it on, we're all in. Say, I believe in you. And we begin to follow him. He says, leave that tax collector's desk. Leave these things. And he says, follow after me. I become priority. I become first. The where I go, you're going. You're no longer your own, Paul said. You were bought with a price. Your life cannot change and become everything that God says I can make it. He can make it if there's still so much of you in the equation. Got to listen. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow after him. It's not without reward. It's so rewarding. It's so fulfilling. We do things that we never thought we would do. We do things that we never thought we could do. We do it not in our own strength, because everything he asks us to do, he miraculously provides everything that we need to do those things. You want to walk in the power of God, you got to walk with God. Not just include him. So, John says, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. This speaks to those who have tried, who have walked by faith, who said, I have walked by faith, I have trusted, and man, God is faithful. There is a God. I cannot deny him. I've seen what he's done. God is true. So when people say, well, I can't do it. I'm a Christian, but I just can't do it. There's a scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. Because the scripture teaches us that in Christ, we can do all things. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. All things. All things literally means all. Anything. Now, let me just tell you about the all, though. The all things has to deal with what he asks us to do, not what you try to embark on yourself to do. You go over there and you say, you know what? I want to pick up 5,000 pounds. I can do all things through Christ. You're not going to do it. Unless God has said, go over there and save that girl. And you go, that's 5,000 pounds of rock. But somehow, we've heard about superhuman strength that people will have to save someone in a moment. They're not thinking, oh, man, it's a good thing I worked out today. More like a Samson. Samson probably wasn't real ripped and muscular like we picture him. We picture him that way because of all that he did. But if he were like that, we would expect him to be able to do half of those things. What made it so miraculous about this guy and what caused everyone to go, what is it about your strength? Was he didn't look like he could do that. Probably looked a little like me, helpless, Can't even lift the pulpit. And then you watch him just, whoa, that's freaky. Where does his strength come from? From the Lord. Our strength, our help, our sustenance, everything comes from him. Our provision, we're fighting, we're striving, we're trying to get provision so that we can feel comfortable in this life. It all comes from the Lord. When we're all in for the Lord, he always provides everything that we need. So you can put all of your trust in Jesus because God is true and because his testimony is true. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Third reason we can trust Jesus, trust in Jesus, put our whole life in his hand, is because of his dominion, his rule, his authority. He rules the world. When it says, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now, let me just put this into context here because it's talking about Jesus, the Son, who he is, what he has, what he's been given. And this God does not give the Spirit in measure speaks of the Holy Spirit working in Christ or with Christ is limitless, without measure. It's unmeasured. When you look back at the Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit was given to them to do what they needed to do. They were led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But let me say this about them. The Holy Spirit's ability to empower was limited by fallen nature. Fallen, sinful nature. But that's not so with Jesus. Jesus was without sin. It was unlimited. Everything God wanted to accomplish, God accomplished. There was no limit. So when it comes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit operated in unlimited, full power. The Father didn't fill Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Although we see at the baptism, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus, the sign of his ministry beginning, the fact that the three in one were in agreement before the ministry began, Father did not just simply fill Jesus like, okay, there's some of my Spirit. You're going to need him. No, Colossians 2:9 tells us this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the Solid Rock.
God was at work in the Son at full strength. Unlike any mere man, Jesus had full authority given by the Father. The Father, it says in verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So you can trust in Jesus because of his dominion, his authority, his power. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Final reason we can trust, should trust in Jesus is his reception. He is the one who determines your destiny. It's all based upon him, a relationship with him. Not how good you are, not how much you've done or haven't done, but on him. Have you noticed how the Bible always seems to separate mankind or humanity into one of two camps? There are only two. Those who are with him, followers of Christ, and those who are not. There's those who believe and those who do not believe. those who have life and those who do not have the life of Christ, the life. To understand spiritual life, we need to understand spiritual death. People are born spiritually dead. They're alive, they're walking around, but they're distant from God. They're self-seeking. They're sinners. They're dependent upon their own methods, their own ways, their own means, their own schemes and plans, everything. Nothing sets them apart from Satan, really, who does the same stuff. But a change happens when someone is born again. There's a sense of, I have a maker. I have one who wants to lead me and lead me in all truth, lead me in all the ways that I should go. And there's a learning, a growing process of yielding ourselves, submitting ourselves to Him so that we can walk in the fullness of the power of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God who He's deposited into us, a guarantee of our inheritance to come. According to this verse, the natural condition of man, apart from believing in Christ, being filled with His Spirit, is that the wrath of God abides upon him. So, if someone does absolutely nothing their whole life, and they've never given their life to the Lord, they're just kind of average Joes or Josephines, average, then at the end of life, the wrath of God will abide upon them. Well, they weren't wicked. The wrath of God abides on everyone who's dead, spiritually dead. And if they weren't following the Lord, if they did not believe in Him that they might have life, the wrath of God abides on them from birth. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 say this, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." You know, the world is populated with a bunch of dead people. They're walking around. They look alive. They're on the same page, basically, about whether or not they have life or not. They laugh. They do certain things in their own communal kind of a way, as a world does. But they're dead. Here's the way you can look at it. The Antichrist is described as someone who will be very charismatic. The world will love this man. He will lead. So from the world's perspective, he's a smooth-talking, you know, deceiver, but we don't know that. Just a lovable, likable guy who's amazing and wise and well-spoken. That's the world's perspective. But from heaven's perspective, what do they see? What did John see? Not a man, a dragon. That's heaven's perspective. That's the reality. So on earth, we could almost look at it this way. We, earthlings see men walking around. But from heaven's perspective, God sees zombies. They're walking around, but they're just going the course of everyone else, doing the things, whatever. Dead men walking. But they have no power, no life. That's why everyone seems to follow the trends. That's why everyone says things like, well, can't change people. Yeah, you can't change the dead. They are what they are. They're dead. They're destined for wrath. Unless you receive the life giver, the rescuer, the one who allows you, enables you to get up and to walk in that newness of life so that it's no longer, as Paul said, I who live. But Christ lives in me. There's a new life that is beginning to communicate with me, to lead me. When my emotions say this, He says do this. When my feelings or everything else comes upon me and says this, when I'm physically tired, He says, I will give you strength. I've asked you to do this, but I'm tired. Well, you don't have to be, because you walk in that, you'll get a good night's sleep tonight. But trust me, I will give you energy you never thought you had. And you'll see the miracle of God if you stop giving up. Stop quitting. Stop listening to yourself. Stop walking around like a dead person. Because He's given us life, and life abundantly. We walk by faith. We're only enabled to do this Because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus said, if I don't go away, I can't send the Helper to you, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in you. He talked about a grain of wheat. You know, if a grain of wheat just stays alive, it's just a grain of wheat. But if it dies and drops its seed, it can multiply. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit being given to us to enable and to empower us. And look, he doesn't give in limited measure. He doesn't go, okay, you're probably not able to handle the ride yet, so let me just give a little bit of Holy Spirit for you. Just a tiny, tiny bit. No, he gives us all that we need. You know what the limiting factor is? Well, when you fill something, you can only fill it as full as there's room in there to fill it, right? You got a lot of ice in there, you get a little bit of tea. But if you remove all the ice, you can have a full glass of tea. So what needs to be emptied for us to be more fulfilled or filled? Us. We need to be emptied. If he wants to do a lot of things through us, then we have to empty ourselves so he can do those things. He doesn't want to just help us do things. He wants to do things through us. He's willing. The question is always, are we? Are we willing to let God do what he wants to do? We have life. We've been given life. The cross is the dividing line. There are two camps. The dividing line is Christ. Who will follow him? Who really believe in him will follow him, do things his way, deny themselves, pick up their cross and follow after him, and who will choose not to? This group that chooses not to, they're also among those who go, I love Jesus, I love him, I really appreciate him, I believe in him, but they don't follow him. They don't put their faith, their trust in him. They don't get in the wheelbarrow. What about you? I believe today the church is on a bad course. What I mean is this. There are a lot of people who go to churches, a lot of people who say they're believers, but they don't get in the wheelbarrow. They don't follow Christ. They add him to their life. And there is no change that happens. Look around. Let's wake up, guys. Look around at the world and all those who say they're a Christian. They're out there, they're cussing. They're out there, they're misrepresenting the Lord. They're caught up in false doctrines, chasing things. Where is the power of God? It certainly isn't God's fault. We need to open up our hearts again, to empty ourselves, everything. Well, what? I've got so much after this and after this. No, not after that. Right now. Jesus called individuals from their tax collector's desk, from their father's fishing boat. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Not tomorrow, not next week, not after these things. This day. If we keep putting things off, we'll never do it. My wife tells me you got to strike while the iron's hot. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to make those decisions that God's putting in your heart for change. This is the day to say, I'm all in, and to do it for the glory of God.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.